Good evening. It's always good to get up here and get out of my comfort zone a little bit. It's always a rewarding process to create a lesson like this. I remember Mo talking to us in Bible class before. He would get more out of preparing the lesson than you could ever give to the people you're giving the lesson to. It really is a rewarding experience just to make the lesson. Then you have to get up here in front of everyone and give it, so that's the hard part. So the first thing when you go to make a lesson, you have to figure out what you're going to talk about. And I didn't think too long or hard about it. When I thought about what I'd preach about, I decided I'd talk about preaching. So I've put together this lesson. I've titled it A Life of Preaching. We're just going to talk about who should be preaching and teaching, because I don't think that it's just something for a full-time minister at a congregation to do. I think it's the duty of all Christians to be preachers and teachers. So like I say, when I got asked to preach, it's something that excites me. I like to do it to get out of my comfort zone. But part of me feels uncomfortable. It's difficult to do this sometimes, to stand in front of people. You start questioning if you're too young, or if you're not smart enough, if you haven't learned enough to be able to speak in front of people. I was talking to Caitlin Gale, and she reminded me to look up from my notes more often. But the reason that I find it hard to do that is because I want to make absolutely sure that I don't misspeak. The subject matter that we're discussing from the Bible is such an important thing. It's scary sometimes because you don't want to get it wrong. So it can be hard to get in front of people. Some of you are 80 years old. You know, I've only been studying the Bible for maybe 20. So who am I to get up here and stand here and speak these words? But as I began to think about it, I remembered that the lessons that we give from up here are not our lessons. The lesson that I'm presenting isn't my own wisdom. God is far older than 80 years old. He's far wiser than anybody that's in this building right now. And he's already prepared these words and this message for us in the Bible. All I have to do is get up here and present it. And I think that that becomes a little bit of an easier task for us when we put it like that. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, which says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So it's a scary thing to present lessons like this, even for someone like Paul. Paul, if you think about the impact that he had on people's lives, and then the impact that those people had on the people that they spoke to after that, you know, Paul was one of the ones that was largely responsible for shaping the new Christian world. And he says right here that he had fear and not good. He wasn't a good speaker. We don't need to be professors or PhD holders. I think we just simply have to be students of the word and then pass on what we've learned to other people. And as we're talking about it, I think it's important to make a distinction. When we say that the message is God and not ours, we have to make sure that when we're speaking, we're not putting our own thoughts into the message. I think the way to do this is to make sure that everything that we're teaching people, we have a verse to back up that message. We'll read from 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." And 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So I don't think that we have to make a profound discovery to present the truth to people. It's already been done for us. It's already been revealed. We just have to make sure that we're rightly discerning his message and that we present it to others. And to talk about age again for a moment, we've all are familiar with 1 Timothy 4:12. I'll go ahead and read it again. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Our physical age isn't what's important. Old or young, it doesn't matter. What's important is if we are students of the Word. I believe that at any age when you can start to learn, you can start to learn the truths on how to live your life, or more importantly, the truths on how to get to heaven. And once you can start to understand those truths, then we can start to pass those on to the people around us. To me, seeing young people leading is inspiring. It uplifts me to see the Douglas boys or Brendan up here. Of course, I believe you're 18 now, so he's getting old. But it's encouraging to see that. But it's also encouraging to see the older folks, those of you who have been here for 80 years. It's such a goal for us to try to attain as younger people to look up to. Regardless of the age of a believer, I think we should be encouraged and built up by anyone that wants to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And I'd move to say that anyone who despises someone for their youth or despises someone trying to follow God, those are the ones that should reevaluate their path. So if age doesn't matter, what does? Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Again, I think that what's important is the message. It's the message that makes us God's preachers, or if we're wrong, makes us false teachers. As long as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, to make sure that we're spreading the word of truth without error and without interjecting our own thoughts, then I don't think that it matters really what our age is. We simply need to repeat the truths that we have learned to those around us. So now that I've established that all of us should be preaching and teaching, how do we actually do that? Is it something that we should all find a group of people and stand in front of and talk to like I'm doing right now? I think that there are two different ways, and I think that the first one is the one we think of when you think of the word preach, which is what I'm doing right now, or standing in front of people and talking to them. But I think that a secondary way is with your conduct. If you notice again in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Set the believers an example in speech." But then after that, it says, "In conduct, set an example in love, in faith, and in purity." I think essentially what it's meaning is that we can teach people and set an example to these people in the way that we live our lives. But first, let's look at the traditional way of preaching, which is word of mouth, talking to the people around us. So Mark 16:15 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, preaching to people with the gospel.'" 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And in 1 Corinthians 9:16, it says, "For if I preach the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." I could go on and on. There were lots of different verses to choose from that explain this point. And I think that the point is that we don't have to be full-time ministers. We don't have to be missionaries that get on a plane and go to a third world country. We're supposed to talk to the people around us. We're supposed to talk to our families, to our coworkers. I don't know about you, but I spend more time with my coworkers than my family. We're supposed to talk to the people that are around us every day and spread the good news to them. We have to be looking for these opportunities. Sometimes they'll bring it up, and then you'll have an opportunity to talk to people. Sometimes you'll have to be the one that looks for the opportunity to bring it up to them. But I just went through half a dozen scriptures that talk about the need for followers of God to talk about the gospel. I don't think that it's something we should ignore. It's obviously an important command that God has made sure to repeat throughout the New Testament. It's not talking about us becoming dedicated full-time ministers. It's telling us that each and every day we should be proud to spread and stand up for the gospel truth, to make sure that the people hear the word of God. It makes me think about that song that we sing sometimes, that you may be the only Bible that some people ever read. What are they hearing? Make sure that they aren't hearing your arguments, your thoughts. Let them hear the word of God. I think if we're going to talk about speaking to people, it's also important to understand how we should speak to them. If you attack a person or you argue with that person, I think that it could be doing more harm than good. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." I think that we need to engage people and teach people with a Christ-like attitude. We'll read from Colossians 4:6, which says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And Ephesians 4:25-29 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such is as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And finally, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect." I think that we need to come at people with love, with the goal of saving their souls. That's why we're teaching to them. So I don't think that we should go into it to win the argument or with anger or anything like that. We need to be patient with them and kind to them, but of course never wavering in what the truth is. So you see that we need to preach the word to those around us in our daily lives. We need to be well-versed in the scripture. That way we can give a proper defense when the opportunity arises. But now let's talk about that second point, which is how to preach and teach to people with our conduct. It seems to me that this may be the one that we have more opportunity to do. The interactions that I've had with people, mostly and largely, people don't seem to want to talk about the Bible anymore. If they do, it's just to criticize it or argue a point. But I think that it's something that we can focus on to live our own lives as Christ-like as we can. And I think people will notice that, and it'll help open up the door for conversation, word to word. "I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." Galatians 2:20. Colossians 4:5 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits." We're to live such good lives that people will glorify God. They should see that the things we do are because of God, and not because of ourselves. And in that, they should recognize God's existence and that he has power over our lives. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." And I don't think that this verse, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that this verse could apply to all relationships, not just the marriage relationship. If we live our lives in submission to Christ, which is what it's talking about, in verse 1 where it says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands," just a few verses before that, it was telling men to submit themselves to Christ. So submitting to godly living that we've been taught from the Bible, in the latter part of verse 1, it says that they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of the individual. People are watching us all the time, our peers, our family members, the young and the old, strangers when you're at Walmart. Make sure that you win people over to God by letting Christ's image shine in your actions. And more than just teaching by good example, I think our conduct can be strange enough to people that it'll actually open the door for the first point that I made. I think that when people see you living a good life, they're going to be inclined to wonder what's going on in your life, what's caused you to act this way. And if they're struggling or they're searching for answers, they're going to come to you, and that's going to open up the door for preaching mouth to mouth. I think that the opposite point could be made as well. If you're not living a Christ-like life, your speech and your preaching will just be in vain, because no one's going to listen to you if you're a hypocritical person. You're just going to give them an excuse to turn away from the gospel. So finally, I want to talk about why. Why are we preaching? Why are we doing this work? Well, in a single statement, we could say, because God told us to. But it's more than that. I think as loving creatures of God, we should want to save the people around us. We should want to spread this amazing gift that we've received. And he hasn't just told us to do it. He's also told us the reward that we'll get for being good preachers and good spreaders of the gospel. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, and it is the Lord Christ you are serving." Isaiah 61:1-3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to the blind, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And I think that that's the root of it. Whether we're preaching with our words or with our actions, it should be for the glory and the uplifting of God's name to the people around us. That is to say that the people around us will learn to respect and desire God's path based on the words and actions that they see us performing. So I hope that we can all live life as preachers. And what are we preaching for? Well, Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" But if a person has someone to teach them, it can change eternity. Acts 8:12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So if tonight you have been the kind of person that has heard the word of God, as Romans 10:14 says, if you're a person that believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came here to die on the cross and did so to give you forgiveness of sins, Hebrews 11:6, And if you recognize that you are a sinner and want to change your life, 2 Corinthians 7:10, then what are you waiting for? As Acts 22:16 says, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. If you need to respond, come now as we stand and as we sing.